Let's go to the Word of the Lord tonight, Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Anybody know Pastor's favorite book of the Bible? I love the book of Acts. I love some others, but there's something about the book of Philippians. It just, I don't know, it just resonates with me, and thank the Lord for it. Verse 1, Paul and Timothy, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. A better translation might say it like this: from God our Father, even the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Verse 9, Paul says, and this I pray, and this I pray. Tonight I want to preach to you about the pastor's prayer. The pastor's prayer. Amen. This might be a little bit different tonight, but the Lord has laid something upon my heart, and I want to relate it to you. Can we pray that God would just speak to us here tonight? Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we love you. I praise you and worship you. I give you glory. Lord, we magnify your name. It is above every other name. Blessed be the name of the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. I pray, Lord, that your spirit would fill this house, that your glory would move in this place, and that your angels would minister here, God. Let every need, oh God, there's nothing too hard for you to do. I pray that you would meet needs. I pray that you would deliver. I pray that you would heal. I pray you would encourage, Lord. I pray that you would fill with your spirit. I pray, God, that you would move in our hearts and that your will be done in every life. We give you glory and honor and praise, Jesus. Have your way in us, oh God. We thank you for what you're going to do in Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Why don't we give the Lord a hand clap of praise right now? Hallelujah. Would you just lift your voice right now with that and magnify Jesus? Come on, he's worthy of praise. He's worthy of glory. He's worthy of all the honor. There's nobody like him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we lift you up. Jesus, we magnify you. We exalt you. We praise you. We need your spirit in this house. We need your anointing in this place. Let your power move in us, Lord. Work in us, I pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Oh, glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Somebody say, thank you, Jesus. Amen, amen. God bless you. Please be seated tonight. When preaching, I personally don't usually use a lot of personal examples. Sometimes there may be some story or something that, you know, it fits just to explain a point, but the majority of the time there are much better examples found right in the Word of God, or maybe from some other source, instead of using myself as an example. And in fact, I generally make it a point in preaching to not use the words I or me as much as possible. I make a conscious effort, and you may or may not have noticed this, but I make a conscious effort not to preach to you, but I do my best to just put myself right there with those that I am preaching to. And so as I'm preaching to whoever's gathered together, I'm also preaching to myself too, because I need God to touch me and to work in me, and I need the Lord. Amen. And so most of the time I will make a conscious effort to choose the words us and we instead of me preaching to you. But tonight will be somewhat different, as the very point of this sermon is very personal. The pastor's prayer. The pastor's prayer. I pray tonight that my preaching will be from my heart. It's one thing to preach from the head. It's another thing to preach from the heart. It's one thing to preach from knowledge, from intellect, but it's another thing to preach from the depth of the heart. And my prayer tonight is that someone would connect with this shepherd's heart, for a church to be in unity along with the pastor and to move forward with vision and faith. Amen. There's got to be, church has got to catch the heart of that pastor. Praise the Lord. I wish that there was more here tonight. I don't know where everybody's at, but I believe God knew who was going to be here, and I believe there's somebody, maybe more than one somebody, that you'll catch the heart of this pastor. In order for a church to be in unity along with the pastor, to move forward with vision and faith, that church has to catch the heart of that pastor. Hallelujah. Those who do not will probably not be around for very long. I've seen it happen over the years, 21 years of pastoring. I've seen it. They may come around for a little while. They may be involved here and there for a bit. They may give a little, and they may seem like they're apart, but if they don't catch the spiritual DNA of the pastor, they'll drift along somewhere else pretty soon. But for a church that catches the pastor's heart, they have the same vision and the same passion, and they get that same burden, and a church that has caught the pastor's heart, they buy in to where that church is going, and they're on board with the same plan, and they receive what the pastor says, and they're willing to go wherever he leads. And it's not that they just mindlessly follow a leader, but the pastor and the church are aligned together. They're in unity. They're moving in the same direction. And when a church has caught the pastor's heart, the pastor may sometimes have to deal with uncomfortable subjects. There can even be correction at times, but instead of misunderstanding it, instead of getting offended, a church with the pastor's heart, they receive it and they choose, we're going to move forward and we're going to be better and we're going to go to a new height. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Amen. When a church catches a pastor's heart, the pastor can get up and in love, he can preach about the standards of separation and holiness that we have and say, this is why we don't do the things of the world, and this is why we dress different, and this is why we live the way that we live. And people receive the pastor's heart instead of just hearing, well, now he's talking about all the rules and all the things we can't do and where we can't go, and they get offended because they don't have the pastor's heart. And when a church has the pastor's heart, he can get up and he can preach about the blessing of being able to give, the joy of being able to give, of being a cheerful giver. And when people have the pastor's heart, they realize, hey, this is not just about money. This is about the blessings of God. This is about God being number one in every single area of our life. Amen. He's number one in my finances. He's number one in every other area. But a lot of times it starts right in the pocketbook. Hallelujah. But a church, instead of misunderstanding it and getting offended, when they've got the pastor's heart, they receive it and they move forward. So tonight I'm preaching from my heart, and so that you can catch my heart, and so you can see the vision of where God is directing us. And I pray you can pick up that same burden, and that we can move forward together in unity. I wish that everybody was here, but I know you're here tonight, and you're here because God put you in this place, and we're going to hear tonight about what drives a pastor. You really can learn a lot about the motivation a pastor has, what drives him, by listening to what he prays. If you really want to know what a pastor feels and is going through and his burden, pay attention to his prayers. Most people see the sermons. They see the church services. They are exposed to the pastor's leadership, pastoral meetings, decisions that have to be made, the weekly schedule that a pastor has, but they rarely see the burden that drives the pastor. Most church members will never hear the prayers that a pastor prays in the middle of the night as his heart breaks over someone that's headed down the wrong road. Sometimes laying there, even the pastor's wife doesn't even know, because sometimes he's laying there, can't sleep, because over and over and over in the pastor's mind is the face of someone that's headed down a wrong road. I've had sleepless nights where some of you have been on my mind, and I've seen some of you, and I've thought, God, what is it? What is it that changed their direction? What is it that's got them off track? Why aren't they doing what they're supposed to be doing? Why can't they live for God? And what's the struggle there? God, what can we do? How can we reach them? God, help us. But most people never hear those prayers. Most people never see the burden that consumes the pastor as he seeks the will of God to know what to speak to God's people. You see, it's more than just, oh, well, that'd be a cute little sermon, or you know what, that'd be a nice little thought, or I heard something on the radio, some televangelist somewhere, and maybe I'll copy that and use that, or I'll just pull up ChatGPT and get something good. No, I tell you what, this not for this pastor, but this pastor prays, Lord, what do you want me to speak to your people? What's the direction for our church? Where are we at, and where do you want us to go, Lord? And how do I communicate that? And I pray, Lord, I pray you quicken my thoughts. I pray that you would quicken my words so that you can speak through me, Lord. I don't want to just be a man speaking, but, Lord, I pray that your spirit would move inside of me, that you could give us direction from heaven. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Most people don't know the thoughts that weigh down that pastor as he drives through the city, seeing street after street after street filled with lost people, and realizing that unless God miraculously intervenes, those souls are going to hell. Oh, come on, I want to tell you, it's a burden that's on this pastor's heart every day when I drive through this city and I realize we have not even scratched the surface, folks. There are so many people that live in the city of Springfield and in Greene County and Christian County. And God, what are we going to do? And oh, there's a city over there that doesn't have a church. And there's a community over there we haven't even reached to yet. And Lord, God, give us more people and give us more resources and give us a burden, God, because there's a work to be done. Most people never understand the times that a pastor may sit in the office and overwhelmed with what to do and how to go forward and all the questions that are beyond human understanding. I have a little prayer journal and a little prayer book, and I put thoughts in it. But lately it seems more than just thoughts. I've got questions. And I'll write question mark, and then I'll put my question there, and I just keep asking, Lord, God, how do we do this? And Lord, how in the world can we do this? How can we grow the church? And Lord, how can we reach more people? And how can we have funds to pay for that? And there's just questions and questions and questions. But most people never see the questions that are on a pastor's heart. I love preaching. I love the preaching of the Word of God. Through the wisdom of God, that's how He has chosen to save them that believe. Through the foolishness of preaching. But to really know a pastor, to really catch his vision, to understand his heart, to listen to his prayers. A true shepherd does more than just preach for the people God has called them to lead, but in prayer, they lift him to the Lord. They lift those people to the Lord, and they say, God, I don't know what to do about that, and I don't know what to say to them, and I don't know what the answer is, but God, I pray that you would work, and I pray that you would save them, and I pray you'd reach their children, and I pray, God, that you'd get them on the right track, and Lord, I pray that you would reveal your truth to them. Don't let them be lost, God, but do something. Make a way. How many different ways did Paul talk about his prayers for the people? Over and over and over again, he says, I pray for you, praying always for you. I cease not to make mention of you, night and day praying exceedingly, always in every prayer of mine for you. Oh, let it be that when I tell you I'll be praying for you, you tell me about something, I say, okay, I'll be praying for you. Oh, let it be that it's not something that I just say in passing. Oh, no. Oh, I want it to be something that when I say that, you know your name is going to be called before heaven. And that God is going to move. That there will be an answer. That there will be, something is going to happen. Because there's power in a pastor's prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I have another sermon that I preached before talking about prayers over our lives. And I go through the prayers that Moses prayed for the children of Israel. And there was prayers of blessing, and there was prayers of provision, and there's prayers of correction. And all these different prayers, and then if you listen to the whole sermon, it's somewhere on our website online. But if you listen to the sermon at the end, I talk about how when the pastor gets to praying in the Holy Ghost. When the pastor gets to praying in the Holy Ghost, I believe it's one of the greatest prayers we could ever have prayed over our life. Because here is the one that God has given authority over us, spiritual authority over us. And he's praying as he's led by the Holy Ghost, doesn't even know exactly what he's praying. But the power of the Holy Ghost is praying through them in the authority that God has given him as the overseer in our life. And I want to tell you, you talk about the power of a pastor's prayer. Oh, I don't want to take it for granted. But Lord, I pray that you would use me to pray for this church, to pray for you, to pray for our neighbors, to pray for every guest that comes. Lord, let there be a power that comes through this pastor's prayer. And as I was thinking about my prayers for you, for this church, I thought of the prayers of Paul for the saints. What an example Paul was. And God, can I maybe pray what he prayed? How can I approach heaven, Lord, that with something that would make a difference for the people that I pastor? I want to be faithful in praying prayers of a pastor for each of you. First of all, we see that Paul prayed for them to be like Jesus. Reading in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19, he said, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. He said, I travail in birth again. He compared this prayer for them to the labor pains of childbirth. The anguish and travail of childbirth. They had already been born again, but it was interesting how Paul said he labored in birth again because they needed Christ to be formed in them. Notice, Paul was not trying to form them into his own image, after his own pattern. And how foolish would it be for you know, a pastor to try to make everyone, I want to make everybody like me. You know, you got to wear the same color suit and wear the same tie and the same brand of shoes. You got to say everything just like I do and think the same way I do and be just, man, that'd be crazy. That's not what Paul prayed for. No, he travailed that Christ would be formed in them. We've got to be like Jesus. Amen. We've got to be like Jesus. Don't look at me as the perfect example of who you need to be. Don't do that today. Hopefully I'm doing a good job of following Jesus, and that points you in the right direction, but keep your eyes on Him. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Come on, we got to keep our eyes on Jesus. We've got to be like Jesus. We've got to be more like Him. That's our example. That's who we're trying to be today. Hallelujah. I'm not trying to build a kingdom for myself here. This is God's church. This is God's church. We're God's people. Let's follow after Him. Let's allow ourselves to be formed in His image. Hallelujah. Some churches are built on the celebrity of the pastor. Some churches are built on the celebrity of the pastor. When it comes time for that pastor to retire or to move on, the church falls apart because it wasn't built after the pattern of Jesus Christ. It was built on the charisma of a man. The greatest hope that I would have as a pastor is that when my work is done, whenever that is, when I finish the work that God has sent me here to do, whatever time that is, that the church would continue on to the next level because we built on the pattern of Jesus Christ. My prayer is that Christ would be formed in each of you, that we would be like Jesus. Lord, help us be more like You. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Does anybody want to be like Jesus? Come on, is that your goal? Is that your desire to be like Jesus? When I see those in the church that are not trying to be like Jesus, they're not interested in being like Jesus, maybe not even aware that they're not like Jesus, it causes great pain to my spirit. Because that's the whole point of what we're doing. I must decrease, but You must increase. Less of me and more of You. Not my will, but Thine be done. I want to tell you, there are churches. There are churches you can go to out there that you can stay comfortable being just the way that you are. Unchanged and unmoved and unaffected. And I'm sorry, it's not within me to even be like that. That's just, I can't even understand that. And this church will never be a place where those who are untouched are comfortable. I would rather that there be so much a move of the Spirit of God that people are confronted with the decision that they've got to make. Am I going to allow God to change me to make me more like Him? Or will I have to get up and physically leave this place because the pressure is too great? Come on, we can't stay unchanged. We've got to be more like Jesus. We've got to do the work of God. We've got to let Him lead us and direct us to a higher plane. Hallelujah. And so if you get to feeling uncomfortable at times, if something seems off a little here and there, if there's an urgency in the Spirit, if there's an uncomfortable prodding of the Holy Ghost, it very well could be because this pastor is praying for you. God, let Christ be formed in them. Lord, let them be more like Jesus. Let our flesh be crucified. Let God work on us to make us what He wants to be. Hallelujah. Secondly, Paul prayed that the saints would be established. He told the church in Rome that without ceasing, he made mention of them always in his prayers. Reading in Romans 1:11, he said, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift, to the end you may be established." That was the goal. He prayed that they would be strong in the Lord. Not everyone who begins this race finishes. What a nightmare for me to sit down and go over all of those in 20 years, 21 years of pastoring that began but didn't finish. I can remember some of the first ones. I was a new pastor town there in Texas, and trying to meet people around the town, and I met a couple, this group of guys on their lunch break. They were oil field workers and tough guys, and I thought, man, that's a great group. I need to know some of them. Have some tough friends, you know. I invited them to church. Come to find out, there was a couple of them were backsliders. One guy came to church, brought his whole family. They prayed through. God moved in their life. And babies in the Lord are work. It just is what it is. People coming to the church, they don't have it all together. Things are messy when you try to help people start living for God. There's broken homes. There's abuse. Generational curses. Addictions. Pain, suffering, they're bound by stuff. They don't even know they're bound, but they're bound. They're carrying all of that baggage. They don't want to, but they are, and they don't know what to do, they don't know how to lay it down. And so it takes somebody to love them right where they're at, to be patient with them and to encourage them and to give up their time. And this family was messed up. I tell you, they were messed up. Sometimes backsliders are more messed up than some of those who have never been in the church. It's just how it is. But we prayed with them. We worked with them and counseled them. And oh, my goodness, I was just a new pastor. I had no clue what to tell them. Taught Bible studies and loved their kids and visited them in their home. And when we left their house, it was like we needed to go take a shower, not just because of how bad it smelled, but because of the spiritual dirt that was in that place. And you just left and you're like, oh, man. You just felt the darkness. And I pray that we were a light shining in it. But I remember the service so very clearly because God's Spirit was moving in a mighty way. There was a great burden in that place. And I didn't know all what was going on, but I realized something was important about that service. And so I labored in preaching, sensing that somebody was in the valley of decision. And what do you do when you've done all that you can do and you prayed all you know to pray and you preached all you know to preach and you've tugged and pulled on hearts with every ounce of spiritual energy you've gotten, and yet someone still decides to resist the moving of the Holy Ghost? At some point, they have to make that decision for themselves. And I can remember the wife and the family sitting there, arms crossed, popping bubble gum. I literally did not want to be near her for fear that lightning was about to strike from heaven. And I made appeal after appeal, even directly to her, and to no avail. She left that service, and I'm so sad to say her family was destroyed. Their marriage fell apart. She went into a homosexual relationship. Their kids are so very lost and broken in the depths of sin and darkness. What happened? They were off to a great start. God was working, but
Not everybody who begins completes the race. People turn back. They fall away. They get deceived. They become offended. And this pastor knows the pain of watching people who were once such a light for Jesus slowly drift away from God.
I joke sometimes that I have PTSD. Not to make light of people that are dealing with post-traumatic stress, but pastor traumatic stress syndrome. You want to know how to give your pastor PTSD? Text him and say, "Hey, I need to meet with you." Because here's what's happened. Over the years, there's been people, you know what I'm talking about. "I need to meet with you." "Okay, well, can you give me a little clue what we're meeting about so I can be praying about it, you know? I do want to pray about it, but I just kind of want to know what's coming up." And I've had people, "Oh, it's all good." And the first thing they say, "Just want to let you know we're leaving. We love you, but we're leaving." "It's all good. What are you talking about?" "No, it's not." And over the years, enough people have had that happen that this pastor has post-traumatic stress syndrome, and it's like wave after wave of that gets up. And so now it's not that I just feel one wave. It's that I feel all of those waves together. Bam. You want to know how to... I need to move on. Sometimes people drift slowly away from God. Sometimes it seems like it's overnight, but usually it was a long time coming. One missed service becomes several missed services. One neglected time of prayer soon becomes a lifestyle of spiritual weakness. A wounded spirit will soon turn into bitterness. If I call or text you when you miss church, please don't be mad at me. Please don't be mad at me. If you haven't let me know where you're going to be and that you're going to be missing, how do I know what's going on? Sometimes it's several services and we may not contact somebody, and before I know it, something crazy has happened. And so if I reach out to you, please understand this pastor is trying to pray for you, because I've seen enough of them start to drift. I've seen enough of them that something came up and got a hold of their heart, and they started, but they didn't finish. If I tell you, "Hey, I love you, but I've got a burden for you. I'm praying for you. There's something that I feel a check in my spirit." Please don't think it's because I don't like you. The weight of your soul is on my heart, and I don't want you and your family to be lost. Sometimes people will come and they'll say, "Pastor, I feel like I'm going to move and go to such and such a church," or move whatever reason. And it's not that I just want to hold people here, but I want to say, "Hey, come on, let's pray about this. Is this really what you want to do? I want to make sure. If it's the will of God, we'll release you. You'll go with our blessing. It's not a problem. But I want to make sure you're not getting into something that you're not supposed to be going that direction." And don't be mad at me. I've just seen too many people. I've seen too many families that said, "Hey, Pastor, just want to let you know we're moving." "Oh, okay. You didn't ask me to pray. You didn't ask me to believe God for direction and all that. You just told me what you're going to do." "Oh, okay. But later on, they've come back and said, "It's the worst decision I ever made. But I didn't have the opportunity. They didn't give me the opportunity." So please don't be mad at me if I say, "Hey, I just feel a little check in here. I just want to make sure this is what we're supposed to do." Sometimes trees look real healthy. They're growing well. They've got green leaves. They seem tall and strong until the storm comes. And then one strong wind, it exposes what was hidden beneath the surface. Shallow prayers, shallow convictions, shallow commitment. That means shallow roots. And the storm will reveal what kind of roots we've got. Hallelujah. Paul prayed that they would be established. In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, he said, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love." In Colossians 2 and 7, he prayed that they'd be rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. If you will build your life, your family, everything you have on the things of God, I tell you that foundation will not fail you. Come on. Come on, somebody. Be faithful to church. Be faithful to extra services. Make sure you and your family are at prayer meetings. Support the youth services. Come as a family to Sunday school. Back up the pastor's preaching. Catch the vision of the church. If you build on that kind of foundation, God will help establish you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Number three, are we growing? Are we growing? Paul said that he and Timothy were praying for the Colossians' spiritual growth. Reading Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." Paul's burden was not just that the numbers of the church would increase. Yes, I want to see our numbers grow. I want to see it so bad. I'm thankful. When I had some good reports this week, we had some good attendance this month. Best attendance we've had all year. Thankful for that. That's good for the pastor's heart, okay? I want to see it. So I want to see our numbers grow because there are so many lost people in this city. Numbers matter, okay? Numbers matter. But more than that, we've got to be growing spiritually. Spiritual maturity is more than an age. I've been coming to church for 30 or 40 or however many years. But are we growing? Are we growing? Paul prayed that we would grow. He prayed that we would grow. When a baby is born, everybody celebrates. We're excited to be expecting a baby girl, granddaughter, towards the end of the year. That's going to be fun. And we're going to celebrate. Come on, we're going to celebrate. You know, people throw parties. They take lots of pictures. They buy all kinds of gifts. And they rejoice on every little moment when a baby's born. But if it's been 15 years and that child is still crawling, still drinking from a baba, still can't talk, 15 years later, something's wrong. Growth is expected. This pastor rejoices when I see spiritual growth, to see people making progress in the Lord, hearts changing, prayer lives being developed, convictions being established, bitterness being healed, faith increasing, lines of separation from the world being drawn. That's a joy to this pastor. Praise the Lord. Amen. Sister Desiree gets a notification anytime that there's a new person who gives to our church, and we try to send them a card or a thank you email or something, say, hey, and tell them, you know, how much we appreciate that and we're excited for them. I want to tell you, that does this pastor good, because it's new people saying, you know what, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is, because I believe in this church. There's something about it. I'm going to be faithful to God to put my finances first. Hallelujah. It's spiritual growth. But when I see people who should know better, they've left the things of the world, but then they go back and pick something up again. I want to pull my hair out. They know they shouldn't be involved with the things of the world, with some people and some habits and some ways of thinking, but they let those things start creeping back in. It's a strain on this pastor. I pray we're all growing. Come on, if we're not growing, something's wrong. Yeah. When you take kids to the doctor and they measure how tall they are and how much they weigh and they put it on the graph, and if they're not growing, something's wrong. And if we're not growing spiritually, something's wrong. Why don't people grow spiritually? Number one, the main reason why people have been in the church for years but they're no more spiritually mature, they're still having to learn the same lessons they've been going through over and over and over again. They're not growing. They're stuck. The number one reason, they're not praying. It's the number one reason. And when I see the growth potential of some of you, hear my heart right now. Don't just hear my words, but hear my heart. You have awesome potential. But because you refuse to pray, to really pray, it's not a priority to you. You don't even give it a passing thought all week long until you come to a church service, and then you try to make up for not praying the rest of the week because you don't pray. Hear my heart. You're stuck in mediocre. And I can preach and I can beg you to be on time for prayer meetings and I can gripe and complain and get on to you, but until you get a burden for prayer, you will never be what God wants you to be. And here's the thing. Your family will suffer. Your ministry will be stunted. You'll get frustrated. You'll be bitter. The number one reason why people are stuck and don't grow is they're not praying. God, help this church to grow. Help this church to grow. Help new converts to grow. Help our young people to grow. Help our men to grow. Help our ladies grow. Help those who've been in church all their life grow. That's this pastor's prayer. Don't let us stay stuck, God. Don't let us stay where we've always been, but help us grow. Help us grow. Number four, Philippians chapter 1, verse 9. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may be approved the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Let love abound. If we have truth without love, we've missed it. We can have good preaching, good teaching about truth, and we can have powerful worship, we can have strong standards holiness, and I pray we have all of those, but we can have all of that and still hurt one another. Talk about hurting a shepherd's heart when sheep attack sheep. When sheep attack sheep. The church ought to be the safest place in the world. It ought to be. Hallelujah. This is not a place of gossip. This is not a place of division. This is not a place of competition. This is a place of restoration. Come on. This is a place of deliverance. There's people that come to this church that the only answer they have is they need deliverance from the things that they're bound by. The only way they can get deliverance is they got to tell somebody so you can pray with them and cast some stuff out. I'm just telling you what it is. But if they can't trust us to love them, how can they trust us enough to tell us what they need us to pray with them about? Come on, this is a place of safety. This is a place of healing. This is a place of revival. Hallelujah. The early church had power because they were in one accord. Unity does not mean that everybody's identical. It means that we're all aligned. We're all submitted to the same spirit. God, give this church unity. Help love abound. Hallelujah. Sheep survive by sticking together. Sheep survive by staying together. Predators try to isolate before they attack. And oh, I hate, that's why this pastor's heart breaks when I see somebody isolate themselves from the flock. And they say, well, no, I'm just going to stay away from church. And I'll be back, pastor, but I'm going to take some time for myself. And I'm thinking that's what the enemy wants. He's trying to isolate you. And you're going to go into that place of isolation. And you're going to have spirits get a hold of you in that place that would have never happened if you would have stayed with the sheep. Oh, we've got to be in unity. We've got to love one another. The Holy Ghost can't flow freely if the church is full of resentment and jealousy and offense and strife. Hallelujah. This pastor's prayer is that we would have everybody in this church involved in altar ministry. Altar ministry. Oh, I'm good, pastor. I don't need to come to the altar today. Yes, you do. Because somebody else needs you to pray with them. That doesn't mean that we don't need to all maybe find a place of prayer. Sometimes I understand that. We all need a blessing. But sometimes we're here not just to get blessing after blessing after blessing after blessing. We're here to be a blessing. Amen. Praise the Lord. When sometimes people come to the church, they've never felt this before. They don't know how to respond. They just come to the front and start weeping at the altar in the middle of song service. Are we just going to be like, well, who do they think they are? They don't know how we do stuff around here. Or are we going to go up and start praying with them and minister with them? Hallelujah. Come on. What an awesome thing if somebody gets the Holy Ghost right at the beginning of church. Praise the Lord. They'll get the Holy Ghost then. We'll baptize them later. Come on. God's awesome. He can do it. He doesn't have to flow with our schedule. The Spirit of God can flow wherever he wants. The wind bloweth where it listeth. Amen. I pray that we accept new people. Now, to have friends, you got to show yourself friendly. So I understand sometimes new people come in and they resist with everything they've got. I don't know if it's shyness or intimidation, whatever it is. I understand that, but we got to get past that wall because they've been hurt, they've been lied about, cheated on, all those things. But we've got to get past that wall, and we got to accept new people. Praise the Lord. They're not in here. They're not here. But it was a service. It wasn't long ago. And we had a family come, and I'm trying to be very vague about this. Basically, one of their kids was here, and I was trying to get them connected with the youth group, with the young people in our church. People, kids, all of that. We need to be accepting. And there was two individuals that had their special seats. And this other one tried to sit, didn't know. And these two got up and moved over here. And I saw it. And I thought, okay, I'm going to handle this right now. I'm not telling you how old or how young they were, okay? But it just takes teaching sometimes. And I said, hey, this is somebody new to our church. Y'all two sit here and let this one be your friend. And they didn't like that. They started crying. And I thought, oh boy, here we go. Stirring something up, Pastor. But I thought, no,
We've got to deal with that right now. Because I don't care how young they are or how old we are. If somebody wants to come up and sit in that seat right there that I normally sit, they can have it. I'll stand. I'll stand. I don't have to sit down. And so we've got to teach our young people. We've got to teach our children. We're not here for me. We're here for others. We're here for people that need this too. This is the best thing going in this whole city, and we can't be stingy with it. Come on, we got to love. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen, amen. All right, I'm trying to finish here. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 11. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. Paul prayed that God would count you worthy of this calling, that he would fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. This pastor's prayer is that we would finish strong. Not that we just start off with a bang. No, I want to finish strong. Hallelujah. Anybody can sprint the first part of the race, but finishing takes endurance. I don't want us just to have a season of revival and then that season ends. No, I want us to live in revival. Hallelujah. Come on, does anybody want to see that happen? We're on a Wednesday night, people get the Holy Ghost. We're in Sunday school classes, the power of the Holy Ghost starts to move and somebody says, hey, I see it. I see the oneness of God. Amen. I want it to be that in your homes, there'll be somebody say, I've got to be baptized right now. And you've got to go find a hot tub or a bathtub big enough to baptize them in. We got to have us not just a season of revival, but I want to have a lifestyle of revival. Hallelujah. We got to finish strong. God doesn't want his church to be weak and anemic in the end time. I believe God wants to establish us so that we would see the work of faith accomplished with power. God, keep this church. Just remain standing with me. God, keep this church. In 1 Thessalonians 5:23, Paul prayed, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. To be wholly sanctified is to be set apart for a special purpose, a glorious purpose. I want to tell you, you're not like everybody else in the world. Stop trying to fit in with the world. They know you don't fit in. When apostolic young people think, I'm just going to fit in, I'm going to be like everybody, I want to tell you, you stick out like a sore thumb. Amen. Because you've had too much happen in your life. The anointing of God is on you. The glory of God is with you. And people know there's something different about you. Stop trying to fit in with the world, but step up to be what God has called you to be. Take hold of the calling that God has placed upon your life. This pastor prays that your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved. That's the order Paul prayed for, spirit, soul, and body. The world lives in the opposite order. Whatever the body wants, the flesh, then maybe the soul, our thinking, our passions, our desires. They don't even really think about the spirit. But God designed us to live after the order of spirit, soul, and then body. So the things of the body, the things of the flesh should be submitted to the needs of the soul. All right? And then both the body and the soul needs to be submitted to the things of the spirit. Notice how the Shekinah of God's presence, the glory of God's presence, it shines in the Holy of Holies. And then it overflows into the holy place and then the outer court. Don't just stay in the outer court, okay, where the flesh and the body is, but you need to get in the Holy of Holies and let that impact every other area of your life. And so this pastor's prayer tonight is that others would pick up the same burden. That's really this pastor's prayer. And I'm closing, so I'm not going to finish everything, but I want others to pick up the same burden. I want others to pray with me. I don't want to be the only one praying. I don't want to be just me and Sister McCoy, and that's it. And that's all who prays. That's all who carries a burden. No, I want this church to pick up this burden. When we come in on a Wednesday night and you see Pastor over here raising his hands and shouting and clapping his hands, and it's not because I've just had the most wonderful day and I've got all the energy in the world and I feel great. I don't even feel like being here, folks. I don't even feel like being here tonight in my flesh. Really, Pastor? Yeah. I was sitting here this afternoon. I was like, man, I don't want to be here. I don't want to pray. I don't want to do this. But I was like, no, there's a need. God's wanting to do something good. And so this pastor's prayer would be that people would come in. Yes, I know you're tired from work. I know you got all kinds of stuff going on tomorrow. I know that maybe you don't want to be here in the flesh. But you'll see that pastor up there worshiping. You say, you know what? If he can do it, I can do it too. We're going to have a move of God tonight. We're going to press through to the power of the Holy Ghost works and moves. Come on. If he dances, I'm going to dance. If he prays, I'm going to pray. If he claps his hands, I'm going to clap my hands. If he runs the aisles, I'm going to pick up that same burden. Come on, folks. I believe God's wanting us to be aligned together, to be in unity in the Spirit, and he's about to take us some places that we can't go unless we get together. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. I can't tell you how many times I've been praying in the altar for somebody, and I'm tired because I just preached my guts out, and I'm looking around for somebody else to help me pray, and there's nobody here. We got two praying over there, and we got three praying over there, and I'm like, come on, where's my brothers? I was so blessed to go to Odessa, Texas, and Brother Smelser, 70-something years ago, but he's praying in the altar with people, just had open heart surgery not too long ago, and still weak in his body, and he's down on one knee, and there's a brother crying out to the Lord, and he's bound by all kinds of stuff, and they're praying, the Holy Ghost starts moving, he starts coughing up stuff, but he wasn't there by himself, but there was three or four or five big old bad looking dudes, tough guys that God had saved from the same condition. And they said, I'm not going to let my pastor be praying by himself, but I'm here. I got your back. I'm going to pray with you. We're going to see this man have deliverance. Come on, that's this pastor's prayer. Come on, we're together in this. It's not just the pastor doing all the ministry, but every single one of us are ministers. And God wants to use us in a greater fashion than what the pastor can do by himself. You are called to make a difference in your world. You are called to carry a burden for the lost. You are called to have this truth, this precious truth, that you can help share the good news of the gospel of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I got to quit. God's good. This church is going somewhere, but we got to get together. We got to be in unity. Amen. Does anybody feel the burden of this tonight? Amen. Can we just gather around the altar right now? We don't need any music. But I just wonder if somebody come and lift up your voice. God, help me to have a burden. Help me to pray the prayers that need to be prayed for us to see revival. Help me to press through, God. Help me to catch the vision of my pastor. Help us to be together in unity, Lord. I pray that you would use me, God. Use me in this hour. Use me in this time, Lord. I believe you placed me here for a reason. I'm not here by accident. I'm not here in this church by accident, God, but you put me here tonight for a reason. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that your anointing would get a hold of us. I pray that the glory of the Holy Ghost would go upon us, God, wherever we go, so that people feel your touch. They feel something different. They know that the power of God is in us. I pray, God, that you would go before us, that you would send your angels everywhere we're going to go, that you would prepare the hearts of people. I pray, Lord, that you would let the foundations of the enemy's kingdom, let them crumble in this city. I pray against the princes of darkness. I pray against
against the prince of this city. I pray, Lord, that someone would get a burden in this house to cast down those kingdoms of darkness, to pull down some things in the spirit. Lord, we can't do it by ourselves, not by might nor by power, but it's by your spirit, oh Lord. And we're going to do what it takes to have revival. We're going to do what it takes to see this church grow. Come on, Lord, I pray that you'd move upon us. Yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. We submit ourselves to you, Lord. We resist the devil and he will flee in Jesus' name.